Later on tonight at 9 o'clock on the City Hall stage, it's a performance by traditional Hmong folk singer Mai Zhong Vu. And she joins me now here from her home in Wisconsin, and she's going to talk to us about her music. Welcome to Current State, Mai Zhong.
Thank you, Mike.
For those of us who are unfamiliar, please remind us who the Hmong are and why many Hmong came to the United States.
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you know, the Hmong, as many other Southeast Asian, are a product of the Vietnam War. We came here after the fall of Saigon in 1975 when the communists took over our country and we no longer could stay there because we were allied with the United States. And so since mid-1975, we've been resettled in the United States. And you probably know Michigan has a large population of Hmong as well, but not as large as Wisconsin, Minnesota, or California.
And when did you arrive here?
I came here in 1980.
And what exactly led to your coming to the United States? How was that possible?
The refugee resettlement are made possible for refugees who need to flee their home. And the Hmong were refugees in Thailand for many years before the United States finally accepted we were able to resettle in the United States. So we came through sponsorship with churches. And as a refugee resettlement program, churches give us the opportunity to resettle, and then we, after 2 years, we're able to do permanent residence, and then after 5 years, we're able to apply for citizenship.
You are here in East Lansing to perform Hmong folk music. When did you start singing? Were you very young when you started this?
Not quite. I started singing folk song in college because of all the frustrations as a Hmong refugee at the time. I came to this country in the 80s as a teenager, I have to live the Hmong life, which is very demanding as a girl. And then I also wanted to be a typical teenager. And so with all those different cultures clashing together, I also wanted to be educated. So I chose education over marriage. So I learned Hmong vocal singing, or gitsia, in college, why I was going through all the frustrations, and I learned how to do it by playing pianos at the chapel every Sunday. And then when I'm frustrated, my finger just give up and my mouth just started to speak. And pretty soon I realized I was singing folk songs, because I do have a little background of it from the camp. And I learned that through college. So after college, then I started singing gitsia in the Hmong community.
Now, describe for us, in your own words, describe this Hmong folk music. Does it involve instruments, or is it just voices?
The gitsia that I'm going to sing is just voices. It's a form of storytelling, and we call it gitsia. In Hmong, there's many forms of telling stories. It could be other poetry and so forth, at wedding and funeral and so forth. So I'm singing the gitsia form, which tells sad, happy, or joyful stories. And it's just vocal singing by yourself, so there is no music to it at all.
Okay, it's a cappella. Mm-hmm. We've got a track that is recorded piece of your work. Let's listen now to Mai Zhong Vu. Mai Zhong Vu, who is amongst the featured performers here at the East Lansing Folk Festival, and we're talking with Mai Zhong Vu right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's you said there isn't typically instrumentation that goes with it, but is there more than one voice? Do you ever harmonize?
not really in this form of storytelling, because you have to think about our life as farmers. We are very busy, so a lot of the singing has to do with just a cappella, where you can do it on the way to the farm, on the way back, or at New Year's. And so a lot of it is just have to do with the ability to perform it while you're at work.
Are these old songs, or are there new songs being created in this genre?
There are new ones where the young people are starting to add the instrument to it and singing along with it. But I only do the traditional one, where it's just the a cappella singing.
What's it like in an event like the East Lansing Folk Festival, in a setting like this where people are walking by?
Uh-huh.
There might be babies crying and dogs barking and things like that. How do you stay focused?
I stay focused because I really enjoy the singing and sharing it with the audience. And I also do a little narrative of what I will be singing, and also tell some of the stories about the song that I will be singing. So I enjoyed it a lot and stay focused by being able to be here. It's a great joy to share the folk singing with the audience. So I really enjoyed it.
You grew up, or were born, in what is now known as Laos.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And are Hmong people found throughout Indochina, or primarily in Laos?
Hmong are found throughout the world. Like the Jews, we are very scattered throughout the world. So when we talk about Hmong in the United States, we're only talking about Hmong from Laos. There are Hmong from Vietnam, from Thailand, from Burma. The majority are still in China. We are originated from what we found now as China, but scholars are still debating whether we are from Siberia or Mongolia. That piece is not settled, but the piece that we know for sure is we go as far as the Yangtze River in China. And so throughout the world, Hmong are scattered everywhere, and Hmong in the United States are product of the Vietnam War. So when we talk about Hmong in the United States, we're talking about the Hmong who moved from Laos to Thailand as refugees and then come to the United States as refugees.
Can you generalize about the Hmong experience in the United States? Has it generally worked? Have Hmong like yourself assimilated well into this country?
Sometimes it depends on who you ask. The parents think that we assimilate too fast. The older people feel that they need to slow us down. But in general, we fit in pretty good because our parents have a very strong work ethic. And they work really hard to make sure that we get good education. We also have to put in our share of the work. And with the support of the local, we're very fortunate to have a lot of good neighbors who support our coming and our processing and adaptation to the United States. So in general, we are doing well. Today, we have Hmong professionals out there who are also supporting other younger generations. So we have assimilated pretty well. I think we're losing the culture much faster than we wanted.
Has the migration of Hmong to the United States slowed down? Did it slow down after the end of the Vietnam War, or is it kept going?
It slowed down. The resettlement is only capped from Hmong who came to refugee camps up until 1978. And then after that, they are marked as displaced Hmong people. So people who left Laos after 1978, 1979 are not considered refugees. So many of those can't even come to the United States, but forced to go back to Laos or, you know, find residence somewhere else.
We have just a few seconds. I have to ask you if you've been back to Laos.
I have been about three times.
Three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it has been fascinating to hear your story. We want to thank Hmong folk singer Mai Zhong Vu for joining us here on Current State, and she will be performing several times here throughout the weekend at the East Lansing Folk Festival, traditional Hmong folk music. Thank you, Mai Zhong.
Thank you. And I will be in my folk costume, so you'll see lots of color as well.
Very good.
Thank
we look forward to that.